We welcome you to the Abundant Hope Christian Center, and we give God praise for what he is going to do on this morning. As always, we are just so grateful for Pastor Bethea giving us this space to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and in the beauty of holiness. We're grateful for our worship team ushering us into the presence of God on this morning, and I am excited for what God is going to do and say to his people on this morning. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to read the word of the Lord afterwards. So you can join me in standing. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you are doing in our lives, and we thank you for reminding us how much you love us, how much you care about us, how much you desire to use us for your glory, but how much you desire for us to live for you. Because God, it's not enough to just come to church and call your name and not do anything with all that we have been receiving. It's not enough to come to church for years, have your family's name on the pew, and there is no legacy outside of just having your name on the pew. God, we don't want to just have these earthly temporary legacies, but we want to continue to advance your legacy in the earth, oh God. So God, we're asking that we would begin to truly cherish all the deposits that we have been receiving from you in the name of Jesus, so that the church can truly be everything that you are calling it to be. So God, prepare your church, continue to build your church from the ground up in the name of Jesus. Every single member, every single gift, every single person, every single segment, every single doctrine, every single denomination and reformation in the name of Jesus. We ask on today that you will continue to build your church, that the church will no longer be looked at as common, that the church will no longer be looked at as compromising, that the church will no longer be looked at as carnal, but that the church will truly be everything that you are calling it to be in this season and forevermore. So God, as you use me for your glory on this morning, I pray that you hide me behind your cross, that you will say what you need to say, nothing more and nothing less. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Even as you deliver this word through me, continue to talk to me and speak with me and commune with me, because God, it's not about what I want to say. It's not about any fancy quotes and cliches. It's all about what you want to say to your people on this morning. So God, we ask that our hearts will be ready to receive all that you have for us in this morning, that we won't just say we heard a good word, that we won't just say we had a good time in church, but that we will truly take this call to action to be everything that you are calling us to be. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The word of the Lord has already been read earlier, but I would like to read it one more time, which is coming from the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Again, this is Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, coming through the New King James Version. So the word of the Lord reads this. Then he, which is Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Jesus. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. The word of the Lord is already blessed. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you are taking notes, or if you're taking notes, or you just can keep a mental note when you go back and watch the replay, I want you to be mindful that I'll be cross-referencing three scriptures where this particular story takes place. I read the shortest version of this story, which is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, but I also want you to keep in mind Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58, and Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30, where you will find more detailed accounts of this particular passage, which you will hear throughout the course of this message. So on this morning, I want to come from the thought, freedom from familiarity. Freedom from familiarity. I once have heard a story of a caterpillar who was like everybody else, just walking around, crawling around, wondering if there was ever more for him. Just wondering, am I going to be stuck crawling for the entirety of my life? Am I going to be struggling, barely able to make it from this meat to that meat, this tree to that tree for the rest of my life? Where I can easily get squashed, where nobody wants to look at me because I'm unattractive, because I don't look the part, because there's nothing special about me. And a caterpillar at one point thought that was his limitation. A caterpillar once thought that was all that he would ever be. Until one day, as the caterpillar was crawling around, and he looked up and he saw a butterfly. When the caterpillar saw the butterfly, he couldn't explain the emotions. He felt something on the inside of him saying, what is that thing? It looks different, but somehow when I look at it, he looks familiar. He looks like, I can't explain it. He looked like, I don't know what it is. I guess somehow or some way we're connected, we're related. The butterfly felt that same connection as the butterfly tend to look at the caterpillar and come down to him and say to him, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but this is what you're meant to become. This is what you are destined to be. The caterpillar's like, how? I don't have any wings. I don't have any wings. I'm burdened down with all of these legs. There's no way I can happen. But the butterfly can see the courage of it and say, it's a process that you've got to go through. It's an uncomfortable process that you got to go through. You got to go through a season of metamorphosis where you got to crawl a little higher than you've ever been before. You got to find an isolated area and get yourself ready to stand still in the season of isolation. And you got to allow yourself to sit there and be still and meditate. And then before you know it, you will begin to go through the process of dying to your old self and getting rid of everything that you thought you once needed. And then you're going to go through this process where it's going to feel like you're dying. It's going to feel like you're lethargic. It's going to feel like you're sleeping. It's going to feel like you're losing everything. But one day you're going to wake up and then you are going to see that now you have these beautiful wings and now you are able to soar. Now you no longer have to crawl and comfort. You no longer have to crawl in the carnality. You no longer have to crawl in the things that was keeping you down, because God has more in store for you, because he designed this thing called the butterfly inside of your DNA. And the caterpillar had to make some peace with himself, because he's like, my friends, I don't know about my friends. I don't know if they're going to like the new me. I don't know if they're going to feel comfortable. I don't know if they're going to feel comfortable around the new me. I don't know if they're going to want to hang out with me anymore. I don't know if they're going to want to chill with me anymore. So I don't know, but I do know I am tired of living like this. And the caterpillar decided to embrace the metamorphosis process that was inside of him. And of course, when all was said and done and he transformed into that beautiful butterfly, being able to have these beautiful orange wings and be able to soar, some of his friends looked at him and said, "What happened to you? You got all grand, you changed, you forgot where you came from." And the butterfly's response is, "We're all supposed to." So sometimes they won't even, and the butterfly's like, "I didn't even know this was in me. And now I'm here letting you know that whether you like it or not, this thing that I have become is on the inside of you. If you want to continue to crawl around and your comfort, crawl around and your carnal ways, crawl around and your conditions that's keeping you crippled and bound, that is fine with me. But I have to at least let you know that if you want it, there is more for you. If you want it, there is a metamorphosis process waiting you. If you want it, you can shed your skin. Because there is a lot of creatures and animals that God has uniquely designed to be able to go through all types of metamorphosis and evolutions and transformations, because it's not just the butterfly that goes through certain stages of growth. You got a lot of creatures, like you have a lot of serpents that sometimes when they get a little bigger, they have to shed their old skin. You have like crabs and all type of other crustaceans where ever so often, as they grow bigger, what used to be a house now becomes a cage, because the crab on the inside is becoming too large, too big for the old shell that they were in. And it comes to the point where they have to molt their shell. They got to break free from their old shell so that they can move more flexibly. And next thing I know, it's like you have to realize, even when it comes to plants, plants don't stay as seeds forever. Plants got to go through so many different processes where, first of all, the plant is a seed. The seed has to go in the ground. It's not enough for the seed to go in the ground. It has to be watered. It has to be warmed up by the sun. It has to go through the process. And then the seed eventually has to be broken open so that it can begin to sprout. It can begin to take root. And then it begins to make its way up to the surface. And then once it makes its way to the surface, that's not all. That little bud, that little green bud, is not all that there is to the plant. Then that plant can become a fruit, it can become a vegetable, it can become a flower, or it can become a tree, all based on what type of plant it is. But everything that God has designed has to go through some form of metamorphosis, some form of change, some form of evolution, because if you stay the same for too long, something is wrong. Everyone is called to transform, not to transform into what we want to believe is the perfect version or the best version of ourselves, but we are all called to be transformed into what God desires us to be, and whatever that looks like in His will, in His plan for our lives. So it is not your job to try to perfect yourself, but you must perfect yourself according to the plan and the process and the power of God. Because even if you try to form yourself, if it's outside of the will of God, it is not what God intended. So here we are, one of the first few stories that we see of Jesus the Christ, the beginning and the earlier days of his ministry, where he is visiting home. It's been a minute since he has been back home. And now here he is visiting his family, visiting his old friends, visiting the old synagogue, his church home, all of that stuff that he grew up in. But he's not, even though he's coming home, he was probably expecting a homecoming, not realizing that this was a homegoing. He came thinking, like, if you ever been to like high school or college, they have like a reunion, or like how colleges have a homecoming, where you become to celebrate, you get to catch up hopefully with some of the alumni that was with you when you went to that school or that college. But this was a homegoing. For those of you who are familiar, who might be outside of the African American context, homegoing is just something that we use. It's a more comfortable word that we at the church use for celebrations of life, for funerals when somebody passes away. So Jesus thought this is going to be a celebration. It's going to be a homecoming. Yay, Jesus is here. Yay, oh my God, I remember when you was this high. You know, like everybody remember, like when you was a little kid and all your parents, friends was like, I remember you. It was like, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. But all the people that you was comfortable with, all the people that used to pat you on the back, all the people that used to say, oh, you're going to be great one day. You go to your homecoming, not realizing this is a homegoing. But this isn't a homegoing where you're going to die. It's just a homegoing where the old identity is going to die. It's just a homegoing service for your old purpose. This is a homegoing service for your old agenda. This is a homegoing service for your old mindset. This is a homegoing service for them to greet the old you that they wanted to be. This is for them to greet the shell that they want you to stay. But this is for them to grieve and mourn and show all those stages of grief and anger and resentment, whatever, for the version of you that they've been painting in their minds for a long time. So Jesus thought this was going to be a homecoming, not realizing this is going to be a new level of personal death for him. Because when you think about it, and Lord, Holy Spirit, this thing, even in my notes, he just gave me this right now. But when you think about it, Jesus' crucifixion did not start. And we usually wait till he got up to the end, but I don't care. Jesus' crucifixion did not start on the cross. Jesus' crucifixion did not start on the cross.
Yeah.
It started with the fact that he had to give up his entire life. He couldn't have a normal childhood. It started with him being 12 years old and seeing the priest at the temple ask them all kind of questions, realizing that he's not going to have a normal childhood or a normal adolescence because he had to be about his father's business, reminding me from the ages of 12 all the way to almost 30, not having a normal childhood, not having being able to be invited or not being able to hang out everywhere, feeling like I was isolated and consecrated and put to the side, but realizing that I had to be about my father's business. It started with him finally accepting who he was in Christ to the point who he was in God, to the point that by the time he is 30 years old, when he reunites with his cousin, what could have also been a homecoming for the both of them was a homegoing for the both of them. Because this is going to be one of the last times they would ever see each other. Not even being able to live long, both of them same age, only 30 years old at this time. And they could have treated each other familiar. I'm sure they did hug. I'm sure they was glad to see each other at the end of the day. Even when John was trying to be familiar, it was like, first of all, I shouldn't even be able to, I shouldn't be able to tie your sandals. I shouldn't be able to put your shoes on. But Jesus, even in that moment, knew to respect the full office that John had on his life. Because if Jesus treated his cousin familiar in that moment, that would have gotten in the way of what God was trying to do. If John treated Jesus as familiar, that would have gotten in the way with what God was trying to do in both of their lives. So that was when Jesus had his baptism. Because remember, for those of us that might be in the body of Christ, those of us that are also new to the body of Christ, remember, baptism is supposed to prophetically represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that was Jesus already doing the prophetic act of preparing himself to die to his own ways, die to his own flesh, die to his own identity, so that when he would come up out that water, he is ready to embrace the fullness of what God had for him. And then he started to die a bit more when he went 40 days and 40 nights in that desert where the Lord didn't say, okay, great, now go preach and prophesy and teach. I need you to go to the desert. I need you to get pressed. I need you to get crushed. I need you to be a little dehydrated. I need you to go without. I might need you to go without some money in your pocket. I might need you to go out without some food in your fridge. I may need you to go out without some human contact because I need to make sure that you are fully prepared and processed for what I have in store for you. Because when the enemy starts throwing all types of temptation your way, we start throwing fame and fortune and false platforms and dirty platforms, oh Lord, and all of those different things, and he's like, And when the enemy starts throwing all them temptations at you, I got to make sure that your flesh is properly killed enough so that you will know to not accept what the enemy's trying to give you, knowing good and well that even when he laces it up and decorates it and graphic designs it with the word of God, that is not what he had in store for you. So Jesus had to go through this process of dying to himself and all things and the life that he wanted to live, realizing that he was not going to be in the earth forever, realizing that he was not going to have a normal childhood, or even realizing as a rabbi that he was not going to have a normal ministry. Oh, Lord Jesus. And now that after the desert, he was in his purpose, started doing what he was supposed to do. Gave his mom a little resistance at first. That's why I love Mary, because even like one of his first miracles, like the water to the wine, Jesus being like, okay, leave me alone, like, not now. Gotta get a little smart with his mom. A woman, what you troubling me for? My time has not arrived. Mary paid him no mind and continued to say no, son, because eventually, freaking out about turn water and wine, what you gonna do when God in turn use the wine for communion right before you die? What you gonna do then? So gotta start eventually. So you better start getting yourself used to it, because I know you try to hide. I know you said your time's not yet, but it's ready. You're ready. You're more ready than you think you are. And this is just my introduction, but the Holy Spirit keep interrupting me, and I just gotta say that to somebody right now. I don't want to look at nobody. I'm gonna look at the clouds, but you are more ready than you think you are. I'm not gonna try to look in a certain direction, but you are more ready than you think you are. I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not. Not today. I'll be sorry afterwards. I'm not sorry right now, but you're more ready than you think you are, because we always think that you're supposed to. God does things the opposite. You don't. He puts it in you. It's already inside of you. But the only way that you get stronger in the gifts and the talents and anointing that God has for you, you have to keep walking in it. You got to walk by faith in order for those things to stir up. So it's in you. You're more ready than you think you are. But when the right conditions are going to force you to come out of your shell, you're going to see just how ready you truly are. So, yeah, Jesus finally started becoming that dude. Because actually, you got to remember, they said healing and miracles and exorcisms, that actually wasn't odd for the priest, but not at this level, not at this magnitude, not at this increase where this dude, this rabbi comes seemingly out of nowhere, doing all of these things, breaking all of these rules, making all of these unusual claims, and they said, this guy's supposed to be a rabbi, why he's not that crazy dude in the desert? So Jesus' name is already starting to get around, but then he finally decides to go home with his friends and family in Nazareth. Nazareth, oh, good old Nazareth. Nazareth, New Jersey. Nazareth, a lot of our towns are Essex County. Modern day, for us, that would be North. That would be East Orange. That would be even Orange. So people talk about Orange and South Orange. Orange be a little rough, a little around the edges sometimes, but good old Nazareth, where he grew up, where he learned how to do wood and carpentry with his father, where he learned how to be a kid, he learned how to grow up, he learned how to be a man, he learned how to build, he learned how to create, he learned the word of God. He went to the synagogue, he studied all the things that the word of God entails and all of that. And what happens is he is visiting his friends, he's visiting his family, they're so happy to see him. And as Jewish custom, he went during the Sabbath. And since he was respected and reverenced as a rabbi, he did have permission to preach and to teach and to read the word of God at the synagogue, because they did respect his authority and his process as a rabbi. So they gave him permission. Jesus, we haven't seen you. We're so proud of you for walking in your purpose as a Jewish teacher. So with you, we'll let you read the Torah. We'll let you open up the Torah and read a scripture that you feel is fitting for this particular season, which he did. And that's where everything started to go a little left. I said they respected his authority as a rabbi. They respected his credentials and his ordination papers as a rabbi. But they had no idea that for this particular rabbi, there were no type of titles in the synagogue that could describe the type of assignment that was on his life. So they gave him the Torah. He opened it up to the book of Isaiah. Because if you haven't heard me, your pastor or Miss Isaiah often said, we'll say it often. You'll hear us say it over and over again. But there are so many scriptures and there are so many words that God gave all of the authors of the Old Testament that prophesied the coming of Jesus, that prophesied the coming of the Messiah. So Jesus opened up to the book of Isaiah and read, of course, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, all that good stuff, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he rolled it up. He sat back down, took a deep breath. They was already blown away because they said, ooh, don't you just love how he read that scripture? Oh, my God. That felt good. Wow. I never heard anybody read the scripture like that. That was powerful. It was okay at first. If he just stopped there, might have been all right. But Jesus knew that there was something he was going to have to say that was going to change everything. They don't say it in Mark chapter 6. They do say it in Luke chapter 4, which is why I said, make sure you read it afterwards. Read the full story in Luke chapter 4 when you get home. But the next thing that Jesus says messes everything up. He would then say, today, took a deep breath and say, today, this scripture is fulfilled among you. And they went from enjoying how eloquent he was, how their hearts were burning when they heard the word. They went from that to confusion, to anger, to resentment, to rejection. Because none of them, none of his peers, and most certainly none of the rabbis, Lord have mercy, Lord give me strength on this morning, they couldn't fathom that this dude is claiming to be the Son of God. This dude is claiming to be the Messiah. They said, you mean not Mary's son. Not that carpenter. I used to be crying all the time because he always got splinters in his hand. That can't be him. Because I wonder how many times with us, some reasons why we get a little afraid and intimidated is because we know people are going to bring up our past. Not the one that had like three marriages. Not the one that had like three marriages. What you talking about? What's the name? In and out of jail, in and out of jail, in and out of jail, in and out of jail. Their whole life. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? God called them. What do you mean? Not even just in jail. They got two types of body counts. They got a murder body count.
Come on, Elder.
You want the heavy this one. Okay.
And y'all know the other body count. And you
two
mean
times.
To tell me.
Yeah. What? That's God.
That's a preacher.
What God?
That's a gospel singer now.
Come on.
What are you talking about?
God.
That God called you. No way. That's you. Uh-uh.
Yes.
So that's why it's like they couldn't fathom that this kid that they grew up with, is claiming something so, in their mind, idiotic, nonsensical. I think the word is heretical, like being a heretic.
Right.
It's a blasphemy, all of that. And they was like, Rabbi, what are you talking about? Oh God, please, Holy Spirit, okay.
Say it.
Usher, what do you mean? Usher, what do you mean God is soft? What do you mean God is calm? What do you mean you going, what do you mean like in 10, 15 years you're going to be some pastor? What you talking about? You better go and pass out them flyers. What you talking about? You better go in that bathroom and clean that toilet. What you talking about? I'm not trying to rush, Reverend Doc. I'm just humbly letting you know that I can't explain it, but God got a call on my life. I'm humbly asking you, can you at least help me? Can you at least train me? Can you at least pour into me so I'm not just doing it? And they're like, what are you even talking about? I don't see that. You ain't telling me that.
Come on.
So they're like, Rabbi, what you talking about? You sure I'm good, Rabbi? Like, you don't want to clean that up. I don't know if you got a headache. I don't get to eat enough. I don't know, but I know we understand. I'm like, you sure, but Jesus said, no, I said what I said. I'm not taking back what I said. You think I like what I said? Do you think I actually enjoy that this is on my life? Do you think I enjoy the price that I paid for what God keeps revealing to me in my life and my destiny? Do you think I like the fact that I'm only going to be on this earth for 33 years? I don't like this, but I have to do this. I have to proclaim what I am, because if I prolong my stay, your familiarity with me is going to hold me back. I'm going to get too comfortable. I'm going to stay right here, try to live long and old, but I'm going to be so out the will of God, and everybody else is going to die for all eternity. So I got to interrupt the identity that you know. I got to bury and kill the identity that you knew, because whether you like it or not, I have to do what God has called me to do. I have to humbly let his purpose be known so that he can no longer pretend to be the old version of himself that everyone was used to. And with that being said, that brings me to my first point, which is my anointing is greater than my anatomy. And when I say my anatomy, I'm referring to four categories. I'm referring to age, I'm referring to gender, I am referring to gender. For all y'all that still say woman can't preach, I am also referring to ethnicity,
yes,
and I am even referring to your physical limitations. These are the four things that will make up our human anatomy, our age, because people will try so hard to say that you are too old or you are too young, you are too broken, you are too disabled to do what God's called you to do. You don't have enough degrees, you don't have enough money, you don't have all this stuff. All these excuses that people try to place on you are saying why you can't go forth. But for especially the woman, do not get me started. But we gonna go ahead, because I can't say it enough. I still can't believe we are arguing about whether or not women can preach. Thank God that y'all starting to let, and I'm gonna say no particular names or any of that. Thank God that y'all letting women preach. I'll give you a round of applause. Thank you for letting them preach. Thank you. They let them preach for all, but now there's another level that you're holding them back from. They're letting them preach for so much. They can only preach on missionary and evangelist level. Knowing good and well, God might have called them to be a prophetess, a pastor, or an apostle. Y'all still holding them back. Not only good and well in the scriptures, that Old Testament and New Testament, there were women leaders who backed people up, and there were some men who backed the woman up. Look at Prophetess Deborah. It didn't say Deborah walked alongside Barack. It said Barack walked alongside Deborah. Deborah was the prophet and the judge that God raised up for that time and season. There were times y'all love to wreck the scripture up. Every Paul talked about a woman should be silent in the church. That had nothing to do with a woman's call. There was a lot of witchcraft and a lot of spiritual darkness going on in that region. And a lot of the new believers were carrying some of that with them into their walk with Christ. It was causing a lot of unnecessary drama and confusion in those particular churches. That had nothing to do with saying a woman can't preach at all. It had absolutely nothing to do with that. And then I'm about to mess you up with this one. You're not ready for this. I thought you thought this is it. Nope. Okay. Jewish culture. I had to put this in the first one. Jewish culture. In Jewish culture, around high school age, boys, teenagers would gather around a rabbi who would teach them the Torah. They would walk with this rabbi. They would learn the scriptures. They would learn the principles of God. So that by the time they became a young adult, they understood the whole Torah. They understood the word of God. They understood the principles of Jewish culture. So it was normal for boys to leave their house for a season, walk around a rabbi, and learn from him, travel with him, live in his house, glean from him, all of that. So when Jesus walked into his purpose as a rabbi, he grabbed some boys. Some of them were a little bit older. I'm sure Peter was one of the older ones, but there were several boys, because the Bible says they had to ask permission from their parents to walk with this strange man. So you know where I'm about to go with this. If they were somewhere between the ages of 15, 16, 17 years old when Jesus called them, by the time we get to the book of Acts, and they are considered the apostles of the church, the founding apostles of the church, the majority of these foundational apostles were only in their 20s and 30s. I say this to say, some of you have been dragging your purpose because you think you got a lot of time. You have been dragging the fullness of your assignment, thinking that, oh, I'm going to do that the next decade. I'm going to do that in my 40s. I'm going to do that in my 50s. I'm going to do that in my 60s. And Jesus was only 33. What makes you think you got time? Some of us are 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 90 years old, still ain't gave God a yes, thinking you got time. Walking in a portion of it, but not all of it. Because you're still trying to hold on to what's familiar. Because you want to be crucified for calling yourself more than what your culture surrounding you is used to calling you. And God is saying, when are you going to let the anointing be greater than your anatomy, than your age, than your gender, than your physical limitations? Yes. Yes, you may have all these thorns in your flesh. You might be broken. You might be tired. You might be weary. You might be, all these things. But God will give you strength. Just trust him. You can get the job done. He's going to send help. He'll send the help once you just give him a yes. He'll send the strength when you give him a yes. He'll send the divine healing in your body when you just give him a yes.
Yes, Lord.
So that's why we can't keep compartmentalizing some of God's assignments to just specific genders, to just specific age groups, and to even just specific doctrines. Saying apostle, apostolic, and prophetic, oh, that's for them Pentecostals and charismatics over there. That is for the whole body of Christ, because I'm seeing in this season, there's a lot of people in more traditional backgrounds that curse those offices, and God is wakening them up one after another. There are some Baptists that have been in the closet with their calling, and God is allowed to raise them up to be the prophets and the apostles that they were always meant to be. They're not going to be afraid of the deacons kicked them out. They're not going to be afraid of the offering gets a little low. They're not going to be afraid of the denomination kicks them out the door. But God is raising up prophetic and apostolic trailblazers that are going to finally call the church to be what it was meant to be. It's time to stop reducing and frustrating and limiting the grace of God and the power of God to a specific doctrine. I'm not saying that you got to start calling yourself Pentecostal or all these other different things. I'm just saying, accept the fullness of God. Stop calling on the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You're not going to let the Holy Ghost move. Some of us, we get scared when we hear these words, because I gotta make sure we're mindful. Even when you get the words and the prophecies, I'm not saying that if you get a prophecy that you're a prophet, that you start calling yourself a prophet, that you start doing all these Facebook lives online, and you try to make a prophet out of your prophet. I'm not telling you to do that. If God has told you, for some of my younger people who have been called since they were children, and God start revealing to you, you're not just a preacher, you're not just a minister, you're not just a missionary, you're not just an evangelist, but the day is come where you will walk in the prophetic and the apostolic. I am not telling you to go on divinityclergyware.com and get yourself a bishop card. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to go to some weird African person across the world and get a fake license or ordination paper there. I'm definitely not telling about graphic designers to go and make their own ordination papers on Canva. That is not what I'm telling you to do. What I am telling you is, the minute you are aware of the full identity that God is giving you, you are accountable to start studying it and preparing for it and training in it until you fully become it. Yes. Jesus did not wait until he was baptized to start walking in his purpose.
Right.
He started from the age of 12 onward. He was already in the Word of God, but he had to keep evolving. Because if Jesus waited till 30 to start getting ready for his purpose, it would have been too late. Because if you are half-baked in your purpose, people will be fully incinerated in hell. I'm that kind of preacher today. If you are half-baked in your purpose, people will be fully incinerated in hell, and you do not want that type of blood on your hands. Even to the men and women of God who are fully operating in ministry in some form of function, if you know that's not fully what he's called you to do, I'm not saying that you got to change your title overnight. I'm not saying you got to go run and get all these papers immediately, because no, God is still working on you. God is still processing you. God's still maturing you. But you better make sure that you are studying to show yourself approved. Not just studying for your next service, studying whatever the men and women of God told you was eventually going to emerge in your life. So that you're no longer intimidated by it. So that you no longer make excuses for it. So that you no longer feel inferior or inadequate to the wicked people that are abusing these same gifts. Who am I today? I don't know this dude. The Holy Spirit's been dealing with me heavily the last months. These are the people, Joshua, these are the people that you're feel inferior to.
Mighty God.
People who have abused the name of God and abused the pulpit, these are the people that you're intimidated by. These are the people that you don't feel worthy to be in the same spaces in. You All of us need to walk and arise in our authority. Because if when God starts cleaning house, when God starts sitting down, and when God starts trying to set up, if you are in, you're not in your right place, the people will be scattered. The sheep will be scattered. Will you be in your rightful position when the sheep need somewhere to go? Will you be in your rightful position when things worse than COVID begin to come? And they're going to need a safe house. Not just somebody that does church, but somebody that has the authentic word and power of the Lord in their hands and in their mouth. Will you be ready? Whew. Whew, Jesus. It's time to allow God's anointing to be greater than your anatomy, be greater than your restrictions, be greater than your limitations, be greater than your doctrine, be greater than whatever denominational background that you started in. Because you started in that. You just started in the synagogue. I'm just making up a denominational name, but that was not his end all and be all. Mommy and Martin Luther King, who his father wanted him to just be a normal pastor and preacher, not realizing that he had an apostolic assignment. What I love is when you notice when he died, the news called him the apostle of the civil rights movement. It cut his life short, the price that he paid. I believe in God for a long life, but I'm just saying you got to be prepared for how heavy the assignment is.
Yeah.
You can't just walk a mediocre, microwave version of what God has called you to do. You really have to be all in or all out. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. That was the first point. Then I promise you the next points are nowhere near as long. But don't let the anointing be greater than your anatomy and all the limitations that people try to use as excuses as to why you can't go there yet. It's not that you can't go there. They're afraid of you going there because that means they gotta evolve. They can't be comfortable around you anymore. So if they can't evolve, they know they gotta leave. Or they're going to make a carnal cult around their comfort and kick you out of it. Jesus. Because like I said, they respected Jesus as a rabbi, as an official ordained certified Jewish teacher of the synagogue. But they did not want to hear that he was the Messiah. But point to the revival that God has given you.
Whew. There is no reference point.
I'm going to say it one more time. There is no reference point. God said there is no title to adequately describe all that God has called you to do, and there is no reference point for the revival that he's placed on the inside of you. I promise you that point wasn't that long. That was it for that point. The next point. Let your inheritance be greater than your intimidation. Because some of the things that God has promised you, your family never saw before. My Holy Spirit, yeah. Some of the things that God has promised you, it's all deep in your bloodline. But they traded it for generational curses instead of generational mantles.
My God.
Preach, Elder.
Some of you, y'all children, okay. Your parents.
Come on.
Some of y'all, even grandparents. There might be somebody who has a grandparent who's been running from their car. Because God, if they still breathing, it ain't too late. Your cousins, your nieces, your nephews. God is waiting for you to answer your call so they can finally answer theirs. And God's waiting for you to not be a mediocre, carnal version of it, the one that's still comfortable doing what they do so that they don't reject you. But be fully in God so that when they really realize how much they need God, they will be able to follow you. The inheritance that God has for you, don't forfeit it trying to conceal your identity for other people. Because I would hate for Jesus to say, I chose people patting me on the back instead of my righteous reward because I did not want to do what he called me to do. Because I either let people hold me back in one season or even let people thrust and celebrate me prematurely in another season, that I either was behind you or ahead of you, and that I wasn't doing ministry for the right reasons, and I wasn't doing it on the right level because of my comfort. I want all the promises that God has for me. I want all of the power that God said I would have. I want all that comes with what he's granted me. And Jesus had to realize in that moment, if I can never come to Nazareth ever again after this day, if they block me on social media, if they cut me off, If they make lies and go to Larry Reed about me, I don't care.
Come on.
I am going to do what God has called me to do unapologetically, unashamedly, unrestricted, and unmuzzled. Because I refuse to go to hell when I don't have to. I don't want to say I love the Lord, and because I didn't do my purpose, he says he doesn't know me. I want to spend my whole life in church knowing I'm supposed to do more. And I still am a Catholic because I didn't do what he called me to do. I don't just want the inheritance of being able to die and go to heaven. I don't want the inheritance of just heaven. The inheritance was heaven on earth. I want heaven on earth. I want to see the glory of God on earth. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders on earth. I want to see God perfect his body on the earth. I just don't want to be able to have eternal life insurance.
Right.
I want to be able to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God every single day on this earth. So I am no longer going to make excuses for what he is calling you to do. Hallelujah. Almost there, y'all. Almost there. Second to last. Hallelujah. I promise you, I said these aren't as long. Y'all gave me a lot for that first one because I had to make sure y'all no longer had excuses for your age. So next up, when we see all the anger, all the contention, all the arguments, they was ready. I said, when you read it in Luke 4, they was so angry that they grabbed Jesus up and they was going to throw him over a cliff. But that's when he made peace with the fact that he would say a few verses later when he was able to get free from that a prophet will be honored everywhere except his hometown and amongst his own people. Because some of you, God is using you in the same town that you grew up at, but he had to still change the location. He had to allow your glory to be greater than your geography. You have to let the glory on your life be greater than your geography. And when I mean geography, I'm not just talking about your zip code. I'm not talking about the fake address that you put on Waze or the GPSs. You don't want Big Brother Love watching your every step. I'm talking about your spiritual geography. The people that you know aren't on the level that God is calling you to. Well, I'm not saying that you got to leave. Some of them you're going to have to be behind forever, and it's going to be painful. Others, the relationship is going to have to shift where I'm called to pour into you, but I can't mingle with you and just chill with you. Whenever I'm going to talk to you or be with you, it's on an assignment. It's also, some of you, it's time to change your doctrinal geography.
Woo!
They told me there's no such thing as apostles. They told me the apostles were only the people that walk with Jesus. There ain't no apostles anymore. What are you doing all that tongue talking for? We don't got time for that. An apostle isn't just one, y'all not gonna like this. An apostle isn't just one that walk with Jesus. An apostle is somebody where Jesus walks with them. Oh, I feel God on this morning. There's somebody who Jesus walks with, and that's not just for any apostle. That's for anybody that God's told you to walk in any measure of glory. Jesus walks with you. And you're trying to limit yourself to one spot, one city, one church. Oh, my God. Whew. One group of people, one ethnicity. Because you're not just called to the black church. You're not just called to the Baptist church. You're not just called to the Church of God in Christ. You're not just called to the African Methodist Episcopal Church. God wants you to reach all the corners of the world. But he said, I will give you power to reach people all across the world. So you're getting upset that this city won't receive you. But there are zip codes that you've never been to that are waiting for your voice. There are countries that we never even heard of that are waiting for our voice. So stop crying about the city, the church cult that won't receive you. Because there is a whole world of souls waiting for you. And last, but certainly not least, let your faith be greater than your familiarity.
Yes!
Because the Bible says we're not supposed to, and many times where we see, we're not supposed to treat God as common. We're not supposed to continue to settle and be mediocre and familiar with people. Stop being familiar with God. Stop being familiar with people. Because familiarity frustrates the anointing, as we see. It broke Jesus' heart that the lack of faith in the region was so strong that the Son of God could not move in his full apostolic anointing in his own home. Because of the lack of faith in that region.
The lack of faith.
Even though God is all powerful, he is a gentleman. He wasn't going to force the fullness of his glory on people that did not want it. And the familiarity frustrated the anointing in that region. It's not that God was weak. Jesus wasn't weak. Jesus wasn't lacking power. The lack of faith and the overwhelming familiarity frustrated the anointing. And that's why. Never get familiar with the presence of God.
Never.
Stop allowing yourself to be familiar with people. And the Holy Spirit wanted me to make sure, but I'll say nothing else, that I say this. Stop being familiar with yourself.
Wow.
Stop being familiar with yourself. Because in Jesus, if I didn't say anything else, I had to make sure I said in Jesus. Could only do a few miracles because of the lack of faith around him. How much more
till we restrict the glory of God on our lives because we don't believe what he said about us.
Come on.
Some of y'all people have told you who you are in God, and they believe in you and the God in you. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to look. They believe in you and the God in you more than you believing in yourself.
Teach it, Elder.
That's right.
And God is saying in this season,
come on,
will you allow me,
Jesus,
to break the familiarity off of you?
Jesus.
How you allowed yourself to be brainwashed and get a whole bachelor's in the word curses that you've been receiving. That you know the word curses front to back more than you know the word of God.
Jesus.
That you remember all the nasty things people said about you and you forget all the promises that he made you. Because God is in this season calling you to no longer accept the familiarity. You don't have to accept it. You don't got to limit it. You don't got to dumb yourself down. You don't have to question your authority another day in your life. Don't question your fivefold authority, whatever that looks like. I'm not trying to say everybody's an apostle. I want to make sure I didn't say that. I'm saying whatever God has given you, don't question it.
Don't question it.
I'm not saying you're going to be an overnight. None of us are going to be overnight, but begin the process of walking out of familiarity. Let the people reject you if they need to. Let them throw you off the cliff if they need to. But that's when you're going to wake up. And then that's when you are able to walk in what I like to call a miraculous maneuver. Because this crowd was ready to throw him out. But as they got ready to throw him off the cliff, because some of us were even, we wanted to throw ourselves off a cliff. Lord have mercy. He was going to be thrown off a cliff because of suicidal thoughts. He was about to get thrown off a cliff because of cancer. He was about to get thrown off a cliff because of curses. Miraculous maneuvers across the rejection, miraculous maneuvers across the pain, or miraculous maneuvers against the doubt, the fear, the insecurity. Because he understood, my home might be not my home. This house may not be your home. But the entire earth, the entirety of heaven, and the new Jerusalem to come, that's my home. So, as the almost, even though he didn't get thrown off the cliff naturally, spiritually, that was God making sure that as a bird, he was fully thrown off the nest so that he can never return and get comfortable there. And God has raised you up in this season to be all that he's called you to be. Because we need apostolic authors who will use their stories and wisdom to help people overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We need prophetic psychologists who will be able to use the word to search the inner parts of man and bring healing to their soul. We need pastoral paramedics and medical officials who will be able to usher in revival and healing in the hospital. We need evangelistic entrepreneurs who will use their business, music, community development in order to not just better their city, but also bring multitudes to Christ. We need transformative teachers, especially all the wicked, demonic teachers that they're trying to bring to our kids who are going to teach the unadulterated word of God. They're going to close the wicked book that they're trying to give the kids. They're going to tell you now, let me tell you about Jesus before you leave this room. Let me tell you about the problems that you have at home. You're feeling tormented at home because of what some of your parents and cousins and family members are doing. But I'm going to send you home with some power. I'm going to send you home with some authority. I'm going to rub you up with some oil at the school so that you can begin to walk in your purpose. Because the fivefold apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, all the spiritual gifts, healing, prophecy, deliverance, all these different things. That is not just for this pulpit. This is where it starts. This is where the river starts. The river is supposed to flow from the youngest to the oldest, from the bishop to the usher, so that the homeless person can receive it, so that the drug user can receive it, so that the gang member can receive it, so the person that don't know anything about God can receive it. It's time for the church to change how we see ourselves.
Yes.
Because I'm so grateful on this morning that Jesus didn't allow familiarity to suffocate him. Because this, we wouldn't even be here today if that was the case. So it's time for you, like those butterflies in the beginning, break free from the old skin.
Yeah.
Break free from the old traditions. Break free from the workers. Break free from all the things that the enemy has told you that you had to settle for. Because that is not the totality of what God has made you to be. Because some of you, as a butterfly, you're already a butterfly. It's just time to break free. You're already in the chrysalis. Your wings are already formed. You have already evolved. It is time to break free and soar in the totality of what God has called you to. So it is time to be free from familiarity. Hallelujah.